Hello and good day, everyone. Kevin Finkel here, and this is another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. It's a podcast all about the Pioneer Magic format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan in Yokohama.
All right, so topic for today, a little bit of quick magic news. You know, we're just starting to get some information about the upcoming set. And along with that set coming out, we're going to have a standard rotation. So we're not a standard podcast. We don't usually talk too in-depth about what's going on in standard. You know, I don't think that I'm an expert on it, format. But, you know, just thinking broader news, all these sets are going to be rotating. All of the cards in those sets are going to stop being worth as much money as they are because there's not, you know, standard big format, people play it, and when they're not playing it, they will play something else with those cards.
And that's kind of crazy, right? Just because Pioneer is a thing now. Before, there was nowhere to play these cards, and now there's a place to play these cards, so
assuming you got paper magic.
Yeah.
that's kind of the kicker here. So what we kind of wanted to just talk about a little bit for this episode, you know, maybe it'll be a short one today, but we've got all these cards that are going to be suddenly cheaper. You know, looking at things from a finance idea, that's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. The other place I really want to talk about is that, you know, if you're a standard player, you loved playing during the time of Ravnica, you know, this most recent Ravnica I'm talking about, if you liked Corset 2020, you know, these were some interesting, powerful sets. I think a lot of people were playing during that time. If you enjoyed these, if you have a lot of standard decks that were powerful because of these cards, you kind of need to find a new home for them if you didn't get rid of your collection. And let's see how those kind of fit into Pioneer, what those do for you as a player if you're going to be moving into Pioneer. So, you know, hopefully we're aiming a little bit at standard players moving into Pioneer. We're aiming at Pioneer players that are looking to pick up some cards on the cheap, you know, maybe be able to play things that they weren't because they were really, you know, priced out of it in standard.
Yeah, so
am I kind of covering anything else you really want to cover today?
Well, yeah, just like you said, you know, let us just convince these standard players that are, you know, listening, or people just that bought packs, whatever. You know, don't throw away your cards. Don't sell them for super cheap. Hold on to them, and we'll tell you which ones to hold on to. And I also, you know, I don't know if you said this yet, but, you know, we can talk about potential cards that, you know, we kind of feel like should have a place or could have a place in the future. I think that might be a little bit more exciting because everybody knows what was good in standard and what's currently seeing play in, you know, in Pioneer. But what about these cards that are kind of on the cusp? I think that would be more interesting to talk about.
And what'll be interesting for me, if you can touch on it, hopefully more than I can, is, you know, if we're going to lose this card from rotation, it's also going to take out this entire standard deck. So if there's anywhere that you're like, see, I wish I had a good example here.
I don't play standard. You know. I haven't played standard in like seven or 8 months.
Okay, so you don't play really standard at all?
Yeah.
All right, I knew you were on Arena.
Yeah,
lot,
so I've only played historic standard since that went ranked.
See, I was going to be like, so, oh, well, Legion Warboss is rotating, so the whole goblin decks in standard is going to die. Like, I know that's not a thing, but
yeah,
if there was an expensive goblin from the most recent sets, that would work. If we see any of those, I'll try and touch on them. Maybe we needed to get a standard expert on the show. Hopefully we're not boring you guys. Let's just jump into this. Where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, one more quick thing. We didn't have a rotation last time when Pioneer was a thing because it came about after rotation happened, I believe.
Right. So this is our first rotation. So hopefully you guys will be seeing a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't keep up with standard. You know, it's been hard to play standard the last year. Mm-hmm. Now all my cards are going away. What do I do? And you say, hey, welcome to Pioneer.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place.
It's a reason to continue to buy new sets, you know, on paper. So, anyways, yeah, I mean, I went through the colors and I decided, you know, I looked at each card. I'm like, you know, which card sees play and then which card would I like to see play? What would I like to play with in the future? So like if we start with white, there's really not a lot of white cards. We've been saying this forever that white's just not really that good. It hasn't been good for a while.
Yeah, and I think this was kind of the big era where there was a lot of like, oh, wow, yeah, white got kind of shafted, you know. I feel like throughout Ravnica, you know, blue-white was good, but what else did they get?
Yeah, so let's just kind of take a look at white cards that you think have potential that you would like to see you know, see some play in the future.
You're going to throw me by a loop by going purely by color here. Okay.
If that's okay. I mean, that's what I did. That's easiest for me.
It's a little funny because, you know, we're talking about... So let's just quick bookkeeping. The sets that are rotating.
Oh, yes.
Guilds of Ravnica, Ravnica Allegiance, War of the Spark, and then Core Set 2020. Yes. So this is not the most recent Core Set, but the one prior. Remember, they're named, you know, partial through the year.
Yeah, so we're losing, like, what, close to 1,000 cards from Standard, basically?
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah. So, white cards, can you think of any off the top of your head? I made a list, so it's easy for me to look at mine, but, you know, if you can think of any off the top of your head.
I'm peeking here. You know, it's funny, as I'm looking at, like, what's expensive, it's something I'm keeping an eye on. I think some of the big white cards are not getting their price here because of Standard. They're definitely getting it. You know, if I'm looking at Divine Visitation and Smothering Tithe being two expensive white cards that are rotating.
Well, that's
those
EDH.
Those are driven by EDH entirely, yeah. So I wouldn't expect those to drop to the ground.
I think Leyline of Sanctity is a really good pickup. I think that, you know, it sees a lot of play in Modern, and we don't really have, like, burn decks. We have Thoughtseize, of course. We don't have a lot of target player effects right now. But I think it could be really good in the future, so I think that would be worth picking up.
Yeah, and there's not much of a deck around that, but I think that as an individual
sideboard
pickup,
card.
We should see that drop a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what is that, a couple bucks?
It's like $5 now, I think.
Oh, okay.
But, like, it'll go up to, like, 20. This was a $20 card before it got reprinted. Yeah, So Leyline of Sanctity, target player gets hexproof, and if it's in your opening hand, you can play it that first turn. Totally nerfs burn decks if that ever becomes a thing.
So you just played too much burn, you think this is a big deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's Modern playable, it's Standard playable, or Pioneer playable, I think. Yeah. Can you think of any good white cards?
Ooh, you know, it's tough. I'm not seeing a lot of white cards that are really screaming to me.
I know that, you know, like there's some decks that show...
Got Eternal Oketra.
Yeah, I actually...
I don't know.
I would like to play with that in the future. It has a powerful effect. There's not a good white deck that you could really take advantage of it with. Maybe, I don't know, is there some kind of mono-white Oketra's Monument deck out there, maybe? You know,
I've seen an Oketra's Monument, and I kind of wanted to try it with Oketra just to kind of see what it can do. Like, I almost wish we had a couple, you know, I've seen it maybe see play in Modern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's kind of the, we just need, what is it, Martyr proc? So, like, we need, like, Martyr, we need maybe the Lion that can bounce itself repeatedly.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff like that we just don't quite have, but I think isn't above the power level of Pioneer.
Yeah.
Maybe in the future.
Yeah, I definitely think that it would be a really cool card to play. Again, these are all cards that have potential. They're just missing cards to be able to make a deck with them. But it's super cheap.
The rest of the colors shouldn't be this depressing.
Yeah, it's probably like, what, $1 or $2 now as a mythic rare? It's super cheap.
What, Oketra? She's like $6.
Really? The God Eternal?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
I know the older one was more expensive, but... Know a card I've always wanted kind of to brew with? Hero of Precinct 1, the 2-mana, 2-2 human, that whenever you play a multicolored spell, you get a 1-1 human token. Why hasn't this been broken?
I put it in the sideboard last week.
Hmm?
You know, it really comes down to not having much that you can trigger it at 1 mana, and even at 2 mana can be tough. Plus the mana's not great, you know, you can't really do... If you want to be something like Asper, which is, I think, where it might be the strongest, that mana's really tough, so...
Yeah. So you think mana is holding it back, but it is a good card, right? You're saying,
which means it could get better over time. Yeah.
Yeah. You need to have it needs to be in a tempo deck where it can be protected. You know, like maybe even a mentor. There's backup is like an extra mentor effect, basically, right?
Mm.
Like you have.
All right. Well, I mean, if it counts, you know, one of the best white cards probably from these four sets is Teferi Time Raveler.
It's a multicolor card though.
It's a white card.
Yeah.
It's the best white card they print.
I mean, it's on my list.
The only way they print good white cards. Come on, yeah.
It's on my list, but it's in multicolor, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it really should be discussed, though, right here, is that, you know, if we have Teferi dropping in price, that's one that I would love to pick up copies of, you know. Great card. It is only a rare. It should be able to drop in price here. You know, I would expect that it's still holding a lot of price because of Standard. You know, it does see play outside of that,
mm-hmm.
but... I think that Standard is still what's driving that price there. And you have great card, playable in a lot of Pioneer decks. So if you have it, you know, maybe sell it and then pick up cheap copies afterwards because I think the price will drop. But if you're just holding on to it, I think that's fine, and you'll find places to use it.
So how about that we do this, since you know you didn't really go by color. How about I just kind of read off my colors?
That's a color. That's white.
Well, I know.
You can't take this from me.
No, I definitely agree. Teferi is going to be a great pickup if it goes down in price. I don't know if it's going to go down in price that much, though. I think it's going to continue to hold its value because of Pioneer and other Eternal formats. I'm not sure if it sees modern play, but I'm guessing it probably does.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, what were the sets before Pioneer?
You mean before?
Before the current standard. So, like, here, let me go back to.
We had M19.
Okay, core set 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm looking at, like, the best rares there, you know, I guess none of those are super good.
Like, it was like Ixalan, right? It was, like, Ixalan, Riders of the Ixalan, M19, and. I don't know what the other one was, to be honest.
So, I mean, like, looking back at Dominaria, you know, the most expensive rares are around $5. Going back to Ixalan, yeah, most expensive rares, $5, $6. You know, some of this is driven by side play. Something like Galt is $7. So I would expect it to be an under $10 card. It depends where it's kind of floating at right now.
Teferi.
I would see some drop in there. Yeah, Teferi.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I thought maybe we should do, like, a little tangent right here before we continue. I believe that because there's no paper Pioneer right now, prices are severely depressed. And that as soon as there is even a twinkle or a sparkle, whatever you want to call it, of, you know, play in paper again,
the sparkle.
All of these cards are going to explode in price. So, like, as soon as next year, we could see these double or triple in price, I think. That's my hot take. That's why I think now's like a really good time. That's why I think it's important to talk about rotation and getting these cards cheap while you can.
Well, there's back and forth there. I would say now is not a good time to go out and be buying singles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to drop. Like,
I'm saying at rotation.
Yeah, I think at rotation, probably a good time to, you know, anyone who's trying to offload their collection.
So come September.
Get a good price on them.
Yeah, come September. Yeah. So anyways, going back to white, let me just read off the rest of my cards, and then you can give me
your colors.
Yeah, so the other white cards I had that I would like to see play, and I think could see play in Pioneer in the future, Gideon Blackblade, just again, mono white aggro. Tithe Taker already sees play in Winota decks. It's kind of like a cheap Thalia effect to keep people from interacting with you on your turn. So it's that 2/1 that has the afterlife and everything costs an extra 1 mana on your turn if they're using it. And then the other one is Venerated Loxodon, which again I think is just going to be good in any kind of white aggro deck. So those are my picks for white. Any comments?
I said, I mean, isn't Venerated Loxodon a common?
No, it's a rare. It's 4/4 with Convoke, and everything you Convoke it with gets a +1/+1 counter.
Yeah, I mean, I know what it does. I didn't think it was, for some reason, I thought it was a lower rarity.
Yeah. But all those cards are pennies. They could be good cards. Oh, okay. So.
Yeah.
Blue. I know that there's a blue card you want to talk about that you think should definitely be picked up, right?
Teferi.
That's a blue-white card, but yeah.
I mean, I know you're talking about Mu Yanling.
No.
Right? No, actually, I don't know. I'm stalling here. Which one were you expecting?
It sees play in every blue control deck. Stops people from drawing cards.
Oh, Narset? Yeah. Okay, that's reasonable.
That's a really good pick. I mean, it's an uncommon, but like, how much is it right now? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to do a quick buck. Check.
Like, $1.50 maybe.
Really? Because it's like $4 or $5 here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to check it up real quick. Well, so Narset. What's her name, Narset?
Parter of Veils.
Parter of Veils. Let's see, where is she at?
See, I thought you were going with Mystical Dispute.
That's another good one, actually, but that's not rotating, right?
Oh, is that one?
That's from Eldraine, which is I think is still...
Oh, you're right, yeah.
So yeah, Narset, Parter of Veils. I'm looking for it here.
Right. The hate one that was in the cycle with Veil Summer was Aethergust.
Okay, so yeah, the basic one is $1 right now, but that's only online. Like in Japan, you can't find it for under $3 or $4. Okay. So that's just something that's always been online. It's something that's going to go up. It's going to see play, you know, in all control decks, not even Pioneer, but just in other decks in general, or other blue decks, I should say.
Yeah, until something else beats it out. You know, it went Jace, and then it was Search for Ezcanta, now it's Narset.
Yeah, speaking of Jace, another blue card, probably worth picking up, right? Even though the combo deck is gone, would you say that Jace Builder of Mysteries is still a good pick?
You know, it really didn't see any play before it had the combo deck. And I feel like maybe it was overlooked a little bit because I think that when people were playing it as a fair card, it was doing better than what they expected. I do think that some of that price it has right now is still memory. Like, I don't see a big reason why that should cost more than, like, Nissa at also rare for More of the Spark.
Which is another great card. You know, yeah.
I would expect some drop. Yeah, a little bit of drop there.
But I think it's just always going to be there. If they ever unban Inverter of Truth, or if we ever get cards like Thought Scour or like any other kind of turbo self-mill thing, I think it'll work really well in there, and I think people will...
Yeah, and it's still a combo win with, you know, for some of the decks. Like, it's usually the Lotus Field actual end-up combo.
What do you think of Agent of Treachery in blue?
That was one I was definitely going to mention in blue. You know, that's a card that it's very powerful. I mean, it was banned in Standard, right?
Yeah, it was banned in Standard.
Yeah, so... just, you know, all-around good card that is still probably $5 or so, and there's good ways to cheat it out in Pioneer. I think totally reasonable. I've liked the Agent of Treachery Luka deck. You know, it's a miserable, miserable deck, but I think it's powerful. I think that it does some good things.
What other decks? It was in Winota decks, I believe. It was the Luka decks,
It was in Winota decks early. People realized that just winning the game with Rampager is a lot better. Yeah. Or Marauder, that's what it is.
And it was also in Fires decks, right? All decks...
Yeah, like I said, the Luka Fires.
Okay, Luka and Fires. Okay. Yeah, so it got to $20 in Japan. It was insane. And now it's, you know, like you said, it's about $5. But I think it's a good card. Powerful effect that could definitely be taken advantage of. If we ever get a real... kind of reanimator deck as well. Heck, it could even see play in like a Scarab God deck. Who knows? We'll see. Any other blue cards you think might be worth talking about? I mean, I can go through my list, but if you have anything else.
Yeah, what do you got?
These are cards.
You know, this is a multicolored one.
So, Spark Double, just because of the Garuda combo plays it. Terramander, I think, is always going to be a good card. You know, makes everything cheaper. Its ability becomes cheaper with all the effects in the graveyard. I don't know if Arc Light Phoenix is ever going to become a thing again, but you know, there might be another way to take advantage of it. I think Chemister's Insight is another good draw spell for some control decks.
So what are you going for with these cards? Are you just saying like these are things that are cool from these sets?
These are things that I think are playable in Pioneer, or that could be playable in the future. That's why I'm choosing them. Stuff that...
Okay, so you're just kind of saying, like, hey, if you're going to get rid of some of your collection, here's some things
to keep.
Because these aren't things that are, like, expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, these are things that you should kind of keep in mind, you know? These are things you're going to have a target on them that players are going to pick up. And, you know, it could be down the road. Like you said, that Narset is super cheap now, but that's going to be something everybody's going to be wanting to play in Pioneer. And it could easily hit $5 or $6 again.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down now.
So that's why, I mean, that's rotation. That's like, pick it up cheap while you can. These are cards that are going to see play. And maybe one more is Cavalier of Gales, just because it saw some play in the, what was it? The Fires deck, I think.
I see, I've got an Elementals deck that...
That plays it, yeah. So yeah, man, what do you think about Spectral Sailor? It's not really seen play in the Pioneer, Spirits deck, is it?
It has been. It always has been.
Is it a four of?
I would say that usually either two or four of, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that that's probably holding its price not because of Standard, so I wouldn't expect the price to change much on that. It's a playable card in Pioneer, sometimes in Modern, but I would say that that's not at all being driven by the Standard price.
I definitely think Mono Blue will have a place in Pioneer. That was something that has shown up a lot in Standard and in Historic, and I definitely think it's going to show up in the future. as, you know, kind of a cheap budget version of spirits. I mean, it's not spirits really, it's flyers, but still, you get my drift.
Yeah.
Black. Any black cards you think people should be paying attention to?
Ooh, a lot of black cards. Let me see. Grabbing my my list off here.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead for now.
I'll get the less obvious ones, kind of the ones that have a lot of buzz recently. Bolas's Citadel was one of them that's shown up in the Jund Sacrifice decks and Historic. I'm not sure. Has that made the jump to Pioneer yet? I haven't seen it too much.
Oh, yeah. That definitely is. I mean, I was talking about that deck last week.
But, like, has it actually put up good numbers yet? I don't think I've seen
Yes, it's like the it's like top five most played decks.
But, and it's actually winning.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then yeah, they're definitely Bolas of Citadel. I think it's like $1, $2 maybe at the moment, not too expensive.
Ooh, I think it's gone up.
Has it?
A fair bit from there. Where is that one from? Is that from War?
Yeah, Bolas of Citadel.
Bolas of Citadel's about $4 right now.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It's almost $5. Wow.
And you know that maybe Yeah.
That happened. I mean, I got mine at like $1, $2. I've got a bunch of them. Okay. So, yeah, I think that's definitely a card you want to pick up then. That's something that's kind of rare. It's going to be hard to reprint in the future as well outside of a core set or some other supplemental things. So that definitely worth a pickup.
You don't think they'll be printing many more Bolas cards?
Maybe not. I mean,
RIP.
He died, right, in War? Yeah.
Well, I don't know the not Vorthos. Technically. They kept him so that they could bring him back if they wanted.
Okay.
He's in Dragon Jail with Ugin.
Huh. Yeah, any other black cards you think might be worth picking up?
Shoot, I'd had some earlier, so let me jump back into what I was saying. You know, Leyline is a good one, but that's not, you know, it's usable in older formats, so it's not like it's all...
But right now, standard. Its price is going to be going down.
Yeah, hopefully a few people will be getting rid of it. That'll help you out there. Ooh, Liliana's an expensive one. No, that doesn't really see any play.
No, not really.
I don't think that helps us.
Yeah, Leyline's currently going for $8. Again, this was like a 20-something, 30-something dollar card before it was reprinted. We were super excited when it got reprinted. So you should definitely be picking it up now, I believe.
Well, here's the big one, is the 3-mana Sorin from Corset 2020.
Yes, the Imperious
Bloodlord. He's expensive. Yeah, and I don't think most of that price is from Standard, so I wouldn't expect them to drop too hard. It's a card, if you're holding on to, keep it, maybe. You know, it sees play in plenty of EDH decks. You know, Vampires is a popular deck over there, and then it's just a really good card in Vampires for Pioneer.
Yeah, and I would say that his price is pretty much, you know, kind of kept up because of Pioneer. That's the only other place, that or like EDH, maybe.
Yeah.
It's the only way I could see him keeping that kind of price. It's like 12 something. It's like $12 or something now, so.
Yeah, at least.
Other cards that I like, I think Priest of Forgotten Gods. Is that seeing play in the Bolas of Citadel deck along with
Yeah, that's definitely seeing play for the same reason. And that card does see play in Standard, so I think that one will see a drop. But is a very good pickup. That's a really good one to mention.
And I don't know.
And that's $2-3, I think.
I don't know if Scapeshift is ever going to be a thing in Pioneer, but Dread Presence is super cheap. It's like, I don't know, 30 cents, 40 cents. I just like that as a budget pick.
Sure, yeah.
It's
a card I wouldn't mind seeing. Let me think what else. Spawn of Mayhem might see some drop.
Mono Black decks. That's pretty cheap. I think this is like $1 or $2, maybe.
More like $3, but...
Yeah. Still budget.
Sure.
Yeah. Riding Regisaur is a big, big beefy creature. Has seen play in Pioneer in like the red-green, or sorry, the black-green Coco decks. You know, just with like the huge creatures.
Yeah, some of the BD decks.
So, I believe...
I wonder if he's good with... you know, there's that new Garruk... I feel like it's a little bit underplayed. He seems like that seems like a good curve is Regisaur into Garra because he gives +3/+3 trample.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, it's going for $3 here. It's buy listing for like $5 or $6 in Japan at the moment. It's just there's no stock here at all. So that's definitely something I think is going to go up. Good to pick up now, you know, before rotation.
before rotation?
Or I mean around rotation time.
Around rotation, yeah. Something like
as
that.
As it dips a little bit further. Knight of the...
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing a few things for Mono Black. You know, like Knight of the Evon Legion, I should see drop. Gutter Bones, I should see drop.
So those are going to be great pickups.
Yeah.
Those will be like... I mean, Knight of the Evon Legion, I don't expect to go under a dollar. It'll be like maybe a dollar or two.
Yeah, so that deck could really drop in price. It would drop a lot more if they would ever reprint Thoughtseize, but...
We're going to have a lot of fun next season after rotation making our budget decks again.
Yeah, I suppose so. God, Thoughtseize though. You can't play budget mono black. You can't play budget anything black. Thoughtseize is the tax on Pioneer players.
I like Creeping Chill as well. Is another. I mean, it's uncommon, but just as something that's gonna be hard to reprint and could become rare and could be one of those pricey uncommons. It saw play in Dredge before people stopped playing Dredge, and now it's kind of seen play in that black. Red Sacrifice deck that, you know, is still playing Stitcher Supplier and whatnot. So. Yeah.
I feel like we're getting a little bit lost in ourselves just, you know, kind of like throwing out cards here. Let's move on to red if you want to keep going by color. Right. Just kind of jump through any of the really big ones you see.
I like Chandra Awakened Inferno, the 6-mana Chandra.
Okay. I mean, really doesn't see any Pioneer play that I know of right now.
Yeah, but again, I'm thinking this is more of like, this is my long shot. This is my something that I think is really good that could see play, especially once red gets a good control. A good control, how can I say, build?
God, I wish.
like a Grixis deck or a Jeskai deck. We've only seen Esper in red and white. In blue and white.
And so. Part of that might be mana. You know, Grixis is hard on mana. So Arclight Phoenix, I think, is the one that we really need to talk about because it's still, you know, $5-6.
Is it?
And that's a card that really will only see play in Pioneer, I think. Well, that doesn't see Legacy play, does it?
I haven't seen it in any other, but I'm saying is it still 5 or 6?
And then it's, yeah, it is. And then it's effectively banned in Modern, I think.
Mm-hmm. I like Dreadhorde Arcanist. I think that sees play in the Feather decks.
You didn't have anything more for Arcanist Phoenix?
Well, I mean, what do you mean? As far as, like...
I
agree.
It's probably one of the top cards mentioned, I think, for this rotation.
It was my number one pick for red, Phoenix. I definitely think it's just... It gets hated out by all the graveyard hate, but I think it's definitely going to be there at some point in the future. But yeah, like I said, Dreadhorde Arcanist, the 1/3 that lets you, like, reanimate spells from your graveyard, I guess, is seeing play in the Feather deck. That's a good pickup. It's like,
well, and also in the Pyromancer deck.
Yeah, so that's a good pickup, I think, and it's not too expensive. Light Up the Stage, it's an uncommon, but it's already going for like $2 or $3 in Japan here just because of low stock. So that's something I could definitely see becoming, you know, like $5 uncommon in the future. I don't know, anything else?
No, I'm going to jump to green. You know, we're going longer on this than I think.
Maybe Legion Warboss would be another good pickup just because of Winota Dex.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Green, yeah. What's your pick from green? What do you think people should be picking up at rotation for green?
I mean, Nissa, I think, is a big one. Probably a lot of people have Nissas because it was so good for so long in Standard. You know, it's still holding $5-6 as a rare, which is dropped a lot, but is still good. And absolutely still going to be playable in Pioneer. Yeah. Great decks for it.
She was reprinted, right? Like in some kind of Challenger deck or something like that? Or
oh, possibly. Maybe that helped with the price.
Because she was like getting really expensive for a moment there. My pick would be Pelt Collector. In any of those red-green aggro decks, or just mono-green aggro decks. I think it'll be a really good beater. Would you say it's better than Experiment 1?
Oh, you know, it's tough. I think probably. I think that the... the difference is that Experiment 1 triggers on toughness or power, and it has that regeneration ability. I feel like the regeneration ability is pretty rare. So I feel like the trample, I think, more than the regeneration. And I think I like the, on death or enters the battlefield more than I like the power or toughness. So, yeah, I think I like it slightly more than Experiment 1, if you were ever going to play one another.
The human typing, of course, would be one reason. It'd be something you'd play, like, in Advanced Human Company, right?
Do you know what Experiment 1's creature type is?
It's Human Ooze, right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's also human.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh yeah, Pell Collector's an elf. Okay,
yeah, so he's an elf, so you would use that over that if you're playing humans.
Yes.
What other good cards? Wilderness Reclamation. Seeing a lot of play right now in Pioneer.
It is, yeah. That's one to keep a hold of if you've got it. You know, it's a couple. It's still, you know, probably $2-3 as an uncommon.
Yeah. So it's one of those cards that'll be one of the expensive uncommons in the future. Cavalier of Thorns. What do you think about that one? The 5-mana. It's a lot of play.
I mean, that one's currently playable.
Yeah. It's a lot of play in ramp. It's not really seeing any play right now, but I definitely think that it.
I mean, I'm playing it.
In what deck? Which deck?
I've got a blue green ramp. That's what I'm playing for our casual league.
Yeah. So that's in one. That's one, and
Voracious Hydra, I think, needs to get a mention.
Yeah, here. Yeah. That was.
I was surprised, you know, building budget decks a week ago that was has gone up to $4. You know, I don't know how much that cost is just from Pioneer. Is that seeing play in standard ramp?
Probably seen some play in standard, and to some extent, okay. I think. Again, I haven't played for like 8 months, but. okay. It's a solid green.
Man, we are not card. The guys who should be talking. Don't listen to our podcast. What are we doing?
Well, I know that, like, you know, what is it? Hearted Scales isn't a thing anymore, but I still like Vivian Arcbow Ranger. You know, the one, okay. The one that's from M20 that puts the counters or fights creatures.
Yeah, and that's like that. Really does see a lot of play in Pioneer, just because of the mono green Planeswalker's deck.
Well, isn't that another, the one that can like wish? Isn't that
this is the one that can wish?
No, this is the wish one is from Ikoria, right? No.
No, the wish one is from M20.
Okay, that's the wish one. The ultimate is the wish, right? Yeah, it's the counters.
I mean, it's a minus.
The fight, counters, the fight, or the wish. Okay. Yeah, so that's definitely a good pickup. A little expensive now, but hopefully it'll go down a little bit more.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see go down, make that deck a lot cheaper. Along with that, let's just mention right now the Karn as well.
Oh, yeah, that's in my list, definitely, for the mono green decks. Definitely a good pickup. How much is he going for now, do you know?
$8 to $10 bucks.
That's still
pretty expensive. He's gone up a little bit, I think.
Real quick, just the other green cards that I might consider picking up. I think Nightpack Ambusher is a good card for like the flash decks that people are playing in standard that could probably translate to, you know, blue green flash in Pioneer in the future. Shifting Ceratops, I think, is a super cheap card right now, and it's a great sideboard card if control becomes a thing in Pioneer. Definitely want to have that. And maybe Nullhide Ferox. I think that's kind of getting price here. The 6/6 with hexproof. So,
whenever if I were to kind of pick one that's a, like, you know, long shot, but maybe might go up in the future, is like Elvish Reclaimer. If we ever get some good lands worth wishing for.
What does that one do again?
That's like the 1/2 that can sacrifice lands, and it gets +2/+2 if you have 3 or more lands in your graveyard. Yeah,
that's from M20, right?
Yeah.
All right. You want to do. Well, you talked about Karn already. It's kind of like our colorless artifact lands. Shocklands, we got to talk about, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. Shocklands, hopefully, will. So, okay. You know, one thing I was big wondering is, like, hey, are these Shocklands really going to go down in price? And for me, I think the biggest telling part of that is look at the difference in the price between them right now. Like, if I look at Breeding Pool, is, like, what, $25?
You mean the price versus the price difference between.
If I look at the price difference between something like Breeding Pool and something like Godless Shrine.
Oh, that price difference. You mean just like the virtually all the blue ones are going to be worth a lot of money. A lot more money, I should say, in the future.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I'm just saying, so Breeding Pool, huge in standard. It was in every single standard deck. You know, it was every card, whereas the white one, something like Godless Shrine. So Godless Shrine is like $8.50. I'm looking at Breeding Pool at $23. So that tells me that the price is not just coming from modern.
It's standard.
Tells me that the price is coming from standard and that we should see a significant drop in price across the board. So I would say that, you know, $8 is probably a ceiling on those.
I mean, I think Breeding Pool and Steam Vents, whatever, all those blue cards, they'll probably go down to like $12. I'd be happy buying them at $12 if I didn't have them. But it's definitely you need to buy your shocks now because they're only going to go up, right?
Well, don't buy them now. Buy them
at rotation. I mean, buy them at rotation. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Buy them at rotation because I don't know. They were like $20 before they were announced to be being reprints? Sorry, they were announced to be reprints.
More than that, I think a little bit on some of them. Yeah, and then they went up, you know, for standard cost, and now they've really gone back down. Yeah. Other than, like I said, Breeding Pool, and that's driven by the standard. So when it's out of standard, like I said, I'm going to expect them to drop probably below $8.
Any other lands you think we should talk about?
Let me take a look. Haven't really thought about it. You know, Field of the Dead is not legal in Pioneer, so don't go for that one.
Something that has a deck made around it, maybe?
Yeah, go for it. Oh, yeah, Lotus
yes.
Field. I don't know why you're hyping me up like I'm...
it's not really seen playing standard, though, so I'm guessing the price that it is right now is probably what, you know...
From Pioneer, yeah. Where it was a very... You know, it was like top two deck, and from... You know, it can see some EDH play.
And when I was playing when I was making the budget decks last time, you know, I think it was like $6, I believe.
$5 or $6. Yeah, it's still around there.
So I doubt it'll go down any further. It'll probably be around that much, like 4 or 5 at rotation. So definitely worth picking up if you want to get into a budget version of. Sorry, if you just want to get like a budget style deck in Pioneer, because even with its best cards, it's still going to be under $200. So definitely worth picking up.
And then Blast Zone is also for that deck, and that was in War of the Spark.
Yeah, Blast Zone's going to be good in like all formats. Isn't that all? In EDH, yes. And I know some other decks play it as well. I'm not sure if Legacy Lands play it. Probably not, but... you talked about Karn. I think maybe Golos is probably going to see some play. What do you think?
Yeah, a little bit. It doesn't really currently very much, but you can find a home for it.
I know in Japan, some people were playing it in the, what was it? The Aetherworks Marvel decks. Or like the ramp decks, like that sort of thing, just to be able to get, you know, the cards that you need to, chain your Eldrazi or whatever. And then one more.
All right, anything you want to hit on in multicolor?
Yeah, there's a bunch of multicolor, sorry. I'll let you go first. You talked about Teferi already. What cards do you think?
I'll talk about Teferi some more.
Yeah.
don't test me here.
I mean, we have Feather. We have Empyrean Eagle, which is in seeing play in Spirits. We have...
Yeah, those seem reasonable.
Like you said, Teferi. We have Thought Erasure, which I think is a really good... supplemental card to Thoughtseize in the blue-black control decks, Assassin's Trophy.
See, I'm still looking at price. You know, like Niv-Mizzet is a good one, but that's not super
that'll go
expensive.
Down.
So I'm trying to think what's actually driven by standard cost.
Assassin's Trophy, no. I mean, probably not. I mean, none of these are...
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Hydroid Crisis, maybe?
Yeah, not a ton. Like, that's definitely pricier because of standard, but I don't think it's seeing a ton of play. Expansion Explosion is one you should be able to pick up cheap.
Yeah, that's
after
a good
this.
One. I don't know what else has seen a lot of play. Mayhem Devil, maybe.
That's not a bad one. That one's currently doing some good things and will just go up.
So wait, get that right.
I've kind of got a long shot. Is Gruul Spellbreaker is one I think will get better in the future.
Yep, that's on my list. That is definitely a card that we'll see play in any and all red green aggro decks.
Yeah, I mean it's not even a buck. I wouldn't say right now, but I think that red green will be a thing in the future. I keep hitting on this point is that it's going to be a thing once we have red green lands.
Absorb and Dovin's Veto I think are really good Devin's pickups Veto. at rotation I think as well. They'll see play in pretty much all control decks. I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of other stuff, but you probably don't think I should talk about it. So.
Don't need to go crazy.
Yeah.
You got anything big that you're like, oh, this card is insane.
I like Tamio. Is like one of my long shots. The Collector of Tales. She's pretty cheap right now. I don't think she sees that much play because we don't have the Nexus of Fate or Expansion Explosion. Or, they banned the Reclamation deck, right?
Not in Pioneer.
Well, not in Pioneer, but I mean
in standard.
So her price is probably pretty low. But as far as finding combo pieces, and I know like in Historic she's being played in the Bats Approach decks as a way to kind of dig deeper or to dig faster to it. So I could definitely see her as a really good pickup at rotation.
Okay, I like that. Maybe a long shot might be Nico Bolasnia. Yes. I kind of mentioned him, but he's expensive for not really seeing any play at all. And in the future, just raw power level for a 5-mana walker. If Grixis becomes a playable color scheme, he would be good in that.
I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that I think could be really playable that are like super cheap. Knight of Autumn is probably gonna be worth picking up. That's always seems like it's gonna be a solid card. Or like Deputy of Detention, if Coco ever becomes a thing again, I definitely like that card. Oath of Kaya, maybe it's super cheap. That's something with the Yorion decks that are coming out and about, you know.
And Kaya herself,
So there's definitely a lot of playable cards. Nothing that's seeing play, though. That's the big thing.
Yeah, nothing crazy. And, you know, we're looking at prices that have probably already been a little bit depressed. Yeah. People who are better at making money off of trading Magic cards have already done more than we have.
So we're just giving you advice as to what to pick up, what we think you should have as part of your collection if you're planning on building Pioneer decks in the future.
Yeah, and maybe we'll go more specific on decks later on, like after rotation. We'll say, hey, if you were playing this standard deck, here's what to play in Pioneer now. Because we would love for, pretty much our one conclusion to this episode is play Pioneer. Yes. Yeah. It's a fun format.
Yes.
We're a great podcast.
Yeah, if you guys have any, and again, like if you guys have any other suggestions or cards that you think, like I said, that I think have potential, definitely join our Discord, post in our chats and, give us your ideas, your suggestions about today's episode.
Yes.
So.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so next time.
All right. That's going to. Yeah, I think that's going to bring us to the end of our episode here.
Yeah. So thank you for letting me talk about this, Kevin.
Yeah, no problem. I had some fun. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of it today. It's been a long week. Long couple weeks.
So hopefully we'll have some more spoilers next week to talk about. And
Yeah. We usually wait till they're all out to do a big review, but that's always one of my favorites. Love talking about new cards and what impact they're going to have. For now, guys, if you see anything exciting, just go ahead and tweet out to us. I'm at MTG Pioneer. We already mentioned our Discord information. That's a great way to reach us as well.
You guys can find me on Twitter at EOSchwenky, which is YOSCHWENKY. And also, we're in the Discord. So, look for our name and, message us or, add us in the Discord. I'll be posting that in the comments or the information area of this week's podcast.
All right, bing, bang, boom, episode over.
Okay.
So we are the First Pioneers Podcast. We are awesome. We keep you guys up to date with what's going on in Pioneer. Yeah!